oversight of various aspects of the children's ministries of this church. And as we say every year, it's important to us that we not only have those who are parents of children who are currently in the home as part of this time, but also that we have other members, maybe who don't have children or children now who are outside the home, who are also part of this time, because we recognize the stewardship of the care of the children of this church is a collective stewardship that we all share together, that we all have a part to play in. And so I'm glad that each one of you have come to hear during this time. I want to first just introduce to you some of the folks you'll be hearing from this morning. This is in no particular order. You're going to hear from Melissa Clark in a little bit. Melissa has been tasked with stewardship and oversight of our nursery ministry. And I just want to commend Melissa, as I did last Sunday night. She has done so with such grace and cheerfulness and humility. Over the past, is it maybe 2 years now, you've been in that role, taking that over from Aaron DePrima. It's a massive task that she has before her. We want to support her and pray for her. We're looking forward to hearing from you, Melissa, in a little bit. Also, Andrea Allen and Andrew Cartledge, who are co-coordinators for our children's ministry from kind of above nursery on through to, would it be sixth grade? Is that right? Yeah. And Andrew and Andrea have worked so well together over the past couple of years. Again, a massive task that they've been asked to perform. They have oversight over curriculum, oversight over teachers, oversight over all the various issues that come up throughout the year, parents who reach out with questions, concerns, things like that. And again, they have done so with diligence, with attention to detail, with love in their hearts, not only for the kids themselves, but for their parents and for the volunteers. And so looking forward to hearing from them a little bit later also. You're going to hear from Lydia Shively and Lakin Harris. So thankful for these sisters. They're going to give us a report on the Vacation Bible School that was held now nearly a month ago, I think. And what a fruitful time that was, and how the Lord answered our prayers to bless that time. I've heard different numbers. I think I heard approaching 100 kids were there at the week. And it was a blessing to walk through the halls and to interact with those who were volunteering, the kids during that time. And Lydia and Lake, we want to commend you for your faithfulness and your humility and your charity in giving that time and in serving these kids. It was just a wonderfully spiritually successful week, and we thank God for that. And then finally, you'll hear from Brad Kinnison, who, with the help of others, is helping to oversee youth ministry. And Brad, are you in the room? Yeah, okay, very good. Brad will be sharing a little bit later about youth ministry and update there and things going on in the upcoming year. And one of the things I will say pastorally I'm most thankful for over the last especially 2 to 3 years has been Brad's leadership of our youth. We have a shockingly large youth group for the size of our church. And many of those youth are walking with Christ and growing in various ways. Well, we have no control over new birth. As human people, we can't induce young people to close with Christ and to trust in him. But our sovereign God uses means, and I do think eternity will show that one of the means God has used in the lives of so many of the young people of this church has been Brad Kinnison and his tireless work in leading the youth ministry. So we're thankful for you, Brad. Looking forward to hearing from you. Briefly, I wanted to give you 4 reasons why this meeting matters and why it matters eternally. The first is that the Lord himself taught that among his disciples, there should be a special priority given to loving and serving children. The Lord himself, when he was among us, taught that there should be a special priority to loving and serving children. Now, we want to love and serve and welcome every demographic into the life of the church. It's very rare that the Lord Jesus will isolate one particular demographic or age group. But on at least a couple of occasions that we know of, he did so. And when he did so, he taught that there should be a special priority given to loving and caring and giving attention to children. He says to receive a child is to receive Christ himself. Just think of the immensity of that statement. If you receive little ones, get down on one knee and talk to them, take an interest in them, pray for them, take them up into your arms and embrace them and love them and teach them about the Lord Jesus. To receive a child, Jesus says in Mark 9, is to receive me. It's a remarkable statement. Not only does he give those warm encouragements to giving attention to children, he also gives severe warnings to those who would misuse or mislead children. He says it's better that a millstone be wrapped around a person's neck than that they should in any way hurt or mislead a child. There's a special censure attached to misleading children or harming children. Jesus has special regard for children. He says that one of the clearest indicators of a man or woman's greatness is tested in how he or she treats children. In Mark 9, the disciples are arguing over who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's not a bad thing to want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be those who love little children. We read, he set a little child in the midst of them and said, whoever receives one of the least of these, he it is who will be greatest in the kingdom. So I say to you, as I've said numbers of times, you can almost never be more certain that you are within the will of God than when you are serving and loving children. If you're wondering, how can I please God? How can I be in his will? Well, one of the most certain ways you can do that is by loving and serving children. A second reason why this meeting matters eternally. In the providence of God, in the Bible and in history, the overwhelming majority of God's people embraced the Lord Jesus Christ while they were still children. I'll say that again. In the history of the church, the vast overwhelming, like 97, 98%, we can't actually know the numbers, of course, but the vast majority of God's people throughout Christian history have embraced faith in the Lord Jesus Christ while still children. This is just the way God seems to work so often. It's not to say people can't be converted into adulthood. Praise God they are. Many of you have been. But what I guess is the majority of you were converted well, under the age of 18. Let's just do the little experiment here. If you think you were converted, as best you can tell, before you graduated high school, would you please stand? And at this point, I would be standing. So it looks to be most of us. Yeah, okay, please be seated. We just recognize this is one of the ways God works in building his church. It's by saving children in the home. It's by saving children through vacation Bible schools, as Zach Busby was in part converted through the ministry of vacation Bible schools. It's through Sunday school classes. It's through parents bringing the gospel to their children and pastors preaching the gospel to children. The third reason why this meeting matters is because theologically, we believe that children are lost and in need of salvation. Theologically, we believe that children are lost and in need of salvation. We don't teach at Emmanuel a doctrine of like the age of accountability or something like that. We don't believe that God saves all children. We do believe that children are born in sin, just like all of us. We're born in sin. And we are born under judgment and under God's wrath if we do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and are ourselves saved. Which means, brothers and sisters, our children's ministry here at Emmanuel is our most comprehensive evangelism program. You appreciate that, right? You want to pray for the Great Commission at Emmanuel. You want to pray for the work of the gospel in our community. The greatest access we have to lost people in our community is in our Sunday schools happening right now. It is our most comprehensive evangelism program. And so what we want for our children is not only that they would, you know, enjoy being here or make friends and things like that. That's valuable, I guess, to some degree. But what we want is for them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ under the saving of their souls. Which is one of the reasons why at Vacation Bible School, the goal is not really just to give the kids a good time. Chuck E. Cheese can do that. But what we can do uniquely is point children to the Savior and talk to them about how they can come as needy sinners to Jesus Christ and believe upon him. The same thing in our youth group. Again, we can win kids with Doritos and Mountain Dew and foosball, and they get a really good time. There's nothing wrong with using those things and trying to create a setting like that where guys and girls can fellowship. But we have totally failed in our task. If they find us likable and cool and affable, but if they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from their sin and believe upon him, that is the driving force and emphasis and motive behind our children's ministries and behind some of the things you'll hear this morning. Fourth and final reason why this meeting is so important. By my count, and I don't know that I have exactly accurate numbers, I just looked through the directory really quick. For the first time in our history as a church, the number of children in the home, so under 18 or under, under the stewardship of members of this church, for the first time has reached 100 kids. There are 100 children in the homes of members of this church who we as a church body have collective stewardship over. That is an immense stewardship that God has given to us. One that we prayed for, one that we never thought would be as large as it is, and one we want to be faithful to preserve and to care for. And so we just need to recognize in the providence of God, one of the things God has done at Emmanuel and through Emmanuel is to create a bustling children's ministry. And therefore, we want to give special attention to this work because it does seem in God's providence, he's giving us a special ministry in this area. And so I want to encourage you, that's not a stewardship that rests entirely just on the parents of these kids or on those who teach Sunday school. It is a collective stewardship that we all share with one another. In our covenant, we talk about our desire to encourage and help one another in our stewardship of children in the home. Well, I hope as you come to this meeting, again, whether or not you have children in the home, you'll be prayerful about the children's ministries in this church. You'll notice kids as they're walking through our hallways and out by the playground and things like that. You'll stop to talk to them and you'll encourage them and you'll point them to the Lord Jesus. I think I've taken probably 25 minutes more time than I was supposed to take. So I'm going to turn it over now. Who is going first? Melissa? Oh, okay. Lakin. You go ahead, sister.
Turn it away. All right. Hello? Okay, great. I'm going to spin this out a little bit. Okay, so I'm Lakin. I co-directed BBS with Lydia. We had such an awesome week traveling back in time to the land of Jerusalem. That was our tagline, learning about Jesus our Savior. We had 68 plus adult and youth volunteers who served so joyfully and faithfully all week long, and we are so thankful for all of the work they did, engaging kids, caring for children in the nursery, preparing and serving food, decorating. I don't know if you had the chance to see the church, but it was just so beautiful with the murals and all of the camels and the donkey, which you'll see in the slideshow in a little bit, but the kids, particularly the youth, did such an amazing job decorating our church, and we're so grateful for that. So this was Emmanuel's primary summer evangelistic effort. We had about 50% of kids from Emmanuel and 50% of kids from the community, and that just speaks volumes to the work that was done this week in sharing the gospel with kids who may not regularly attend church, and so we are so grateful for that opportunity. So our daily schedule, every day the kids would check in, come upstairs to the sanctuary. They were divided into their classes, their age groups, by their tribe. So they were named after the 12 tribes of Israel. Andrew Cartledge led us in corporate singing of really great songs that were easy to remember. The kids had gestures and actions that they would do with the songs. And I've heard from parents that they actually still request the youth to show them how to do the motions because we don't have a video recording of it. So they really loved that. Jonathan Harris taught each day, which focused on the questions, what is sin? What is sin solution? And how does Jesus save us? So he set out to support the tribe teachers and by providing clear answers to these basic questions to set them up to share the gospel throughout the day with their kids. After that, the children rotated through snacks, crafts, recreation, and then they were back in their classrooms to do tribe time. So the teachers taught kids from Luke's gospel with the following daily themes: sinners need a savior, Jesus is the only savior, Jesus is the perfect savior, and Jesus is the risen savior. They also memorized 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the savior of the world. And they also memorized their tribe chant that their sweet and faithful teachers created for them to scream every morning in their large group gathering. It was awesome. Lastly, the children and their families, both families who are a part of our church and who are not a part of our church, gathered for a family night where we heard a gospel proclamation and sang songs together. We also heard the memory verse and their tribe chants up front here. We gathered outside the back of the church to celebrate with pizza, ice cream, and a cotton candy machine. It was awesome. So we had such a wonderful week. We are so grateful for all that God did. And we just ask that you guys would pray that God would just continue the work and the kids that he brought here, that he would use the week of VBS and their story of salvation, and that we would just be encouraged by even seeing some of that fruit in the future. So for the rest of the time, we're going to watch the slideshow, and then I'll come back up for questions. Well, there were some inside jokes on that slideshow that I forgot about, but we had a really sweet time, and we just thank the Lord that He blessed our time at VBS, and I hope you kind of felt like you were there when you could see the smiles of the kids that they were enjoying our week here. What questions do you guys have, if any? Yes. For VBS? Oh, well, I'll let other people speak on that. But for VBS next year, talk to us in about April. We'll probably be calling out for help. Anything else from you guys? All right, well, I'll have Melissa Clark come and share about nursery.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melissa Clark. I need to start out by apologizing. I am getting over laryngitis, so my voice is breaking, so please forgive me. But it's a joy to be in front of everybody. I get to be a part of the preschool area. I am the coordinator. As Alex spoke about, I've been doing it for 2 years, and I must say I have the most fun down there. They are such a great and wonderful group of kiddos down there. And our age range is from birth until about age 5. And last year when I spoke, this time last year, we had 2 classrooms during the 9:15 hour and 2 classrooms during the 10:30 hour. And the Lord has just watched us grow or helped us grow. And now we have 2 classrooms in the 9:15 hour and 3 in the 10:30. And those classrooms are getting full. Praise the Lord. Usually in our infant classroom, we range between 3 to 5 children. And that could be, like I said, newborn to toddler phase. And so that's a good variety there. And then in our toddler room, we have anywhere from 9 to 14 kiddos in that classroom. And then in our preschool room, we have anywhere from 9 to 11 children. So as you can tell, our numbers have grown and multiplied, and we're so thankful for these children. We're excited to have them with us, and I'm very, very thankful for all of our volunteers. I look out and see so many of you that help every week, and I am so thankful for each and every one of you and for the way that you love on these children, and it's just such a blessing. And I'm talking to the youth, too, because my youth helpers, they just jump right in, and they get excited with it as well, and they just love to serve these kiddos, and you can see it in the halls when they speak, when the kids get to speak to every single person, not just the adults that serve with them, but the youth, so it's such a blessing to see our area grow so much. As our area has continued to grow, so has our nursery team, praise the Lord. So I have 2 new assistant coordinators who will be helping me with weekly operations, and that's Jenna DePrima and also Anna Hobart. So I'm very thankful that they're gonna serve alongside of me and help me, and just kind of, we can talk about what the area needs and how we can help it grow. So also just to give you additional updates, we have had some classrooms remodeled or rearranged rather, so that it's better utilized for our classes. And we've also updated some of our windows, so thankfully we're able to use those if we need those in any event. And then we also have several updates to some of our protocols. And I think Alex spoke to these during our meeting, but I just wanted to kind of reiterate what we're doing. As you know, the child to caregiver ratio, we usually have 2 volunteers in every classroom, but our protocol is children ages birth through toddler. It's 1 adult for every 4 children. And then for toddlers through age 5, it's 1 adult for every 6 children. So those age ranges have changed. So you may notice those updates in the manual, in the family policy manual, which is available online. And also another update that we've had to do, because we have a number of children that do have allergies, we have had to say that only approved snacks can come into our areas. So those snacks usually are approved by myself and Anna and Jenna, so that they're allergy friendly. So we do ask that the children refrain from eating their own snacks, because it's not just a certain kind of allergy. We have various allergies that we want to be safe with. So we do ask that any kind of food requirements that your child may have, if you'll just let me know so that we can kind of work and help make sure that your child, if they have a special need, get what they need. So I know I gave you a lot at once. Do you have any questions about the updates so far for the nursery? Okay. I get the fun job at giving the update for wellness reminders for our parents. We love having your children with us, but if your child is not feeling well, we do ask that you just keep them at home for the week and let them rest and get well so they can come back and be with us the following week. Just as a reminder, a child shall not be placed in childcare when they have any of the following illnesses or issues: a fever higher than 100.4 degrees, we ask that you please keep them home. If they have any nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea within the last 24 hours, any nasal discharge, a sore throat, a productive wet cough or croupy barking cough, any unexplained rash, or open skin lesions. I told you, I get the fun job, don't I? any skin infection, such as boils, ringworms, any eye infection or discharge. Any, infestation for, lice or some sort of communicable disease. And looks or acts unusually tired or pale, irritable or restless. We ask that you keep these kiddos at home and, like I said, let them rest. So those are our wellness reminder as we go in the season. Well, we love to share the gospel, but not anything else. So does anybody have any questions about our preschool department? Anything? I'll be happy to answer. And if you don't want to ask questions now, I'm available after church. So, yes? Yes. Thank you. That's a great question. I like that question. So David's question was, if anyone's interested in volunteering, what usually do they need to do? So you can find my email. It should be online, or just find me at church. I'm usually down in the nursery department making sure everything's set up. So you can just find me or email me, or you can even call me. I'm in the directory. And just let me know that you're interested. Usually I will schedule you with an experienced volunteer, and I'll meet you down there. They'll train you how to do it, and then you'll be on your own in the following weeks. So that's the easiest way. Just reach out to me, and then I will kind of get the ball rolling as far as, and you do have to do a background check. And as far as volunteers, our children can volunteer, 11 and 12-year-old with a parent. 13 to age 18, they are usually in our youth adult group, and they can volunteer in the classroom with two other adults. And then adult is 18 and older. And so they would get a background check, our adults would. So if you are interested in volunteering, or if your youth is interested in volunteering, just come and speak with me and we'll discuss it. Yes, Andrea. Just a minute. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You do have to be a member of the church if you are interested in volunteering as an adult. So, yes, thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else have a question? Yes, Alex. Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. So, you know, as I said, we've adjusted some rooms for the needs to, you know, for some children to have restrooms as needed. And so as our area grows, hopefully we'll be able to spread down that way. And that'll be our children's wing, which would be wonderful. So any other questions? Okay. Thank you again, everyone. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, and I will say, like everybody else says, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to come to this Sunday school hour and to be able to hear what we're doing in the children's ministry. My name is Andrea Allen. I'll be speaking on part of the children's ministry, and then Andrew Cartledge will come up and do the remainder of it. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of the teachers that have been teaching for us for the last 6 years. I've been able to be a part of the children's ministry since the birth of this church. So we have seen it go from 2 children in nursery, 4 in elementary school, which were my children, 1 middle schooler, and 1 high schooler, to now Alex being able to say that 100 children are here. So praise the Lord for that. These were literally prayers that were prayed as we were preparing to start Emmanuel. We were praying for the God to bring children. We were leaving a church that had a lot of children, and my children were going to be the only ones here for a time. Those were prayers that we prayed with our kids, and God was so faithful very early on to answer those prayers and to bring children. I think we went from 4 to 20 in the first year, which was such a beautiful thing. So I'm excited to even be up here to being able to tell you about what we're able to do this coming year. Because there is a growth, there's obviously a need for teachers and more classrooms. And so this year, along with Melissa Clark, we have been able to add a 3-year-old Sunday school class. And so there's 3 teachers that will be there, myself, Michelle Blackburn, and Elizabeth Burley. So we were able to help so that if you have a 3-year-old, as they turn 3, they will graduate into the 3-year-old Sunday school class. And so we'll be slowly bringing in the 3-year-old so they can get used to what the difference between being in a nursery to being in like more of a classroom setting. They'll start memorizing stuff, we'll have songs, be able to start sharing the gospel in a really particular way through the curriculum. We have a curriculum that starts at that 3-year-old age, and so it's age appropriate, but it's sharing a big God with little minds, and they can handle that type of information. So we're able to start that. That actually helps out with the nursery overflow problem that we're having, which is a good problem, but it's still a problem that has to be fixed. Then we have a 4 to 5-year-old class, so that's that pre-KK class. We have Elizabeth Sanders is going to be joining this year along with Megan White and Laura Cartledge, who's been doing it for a few years. So the 3 of those ladies will be helping those children start understanding more about the gospel, the things that they can do. They do coloring sheets, crafts, those kind of fun things. As our goal is, we want these kids to want to come to church. Their parents are faithful to bring them, but as they get older and they're in this program, I want to see the desire for them to see their classmates, to see their teachers, to hear what God is doing, to learn the songs, to be able to know that they've memorized a verse and those kind of things, and to be a help to the parents. So then as we transition into that 1st through 3rd grade class, we've had the same teachers, or at least some parts of it, through this elementary age for a couple of years. So this year it will be Carrie Pemberton, Caroline Fleischer, and Jamie Castleberry. They will be with that group, and that's like a different where they're starting to get information differently when you turn 1st grade, and you're not just learning how to sit still. You're now learning that you can, and then what can you do with it? And so they'll be going till 3rd grade. Then we have the 4th through 6th grade class. This will be our biggest class. We were trying to come up with different ways of splitting it, but the numbers are really odd. But they're going to stay together, and Lakin King, I almost called you. I know, I keep saying that. Okay, wrote down King, crossed it out, wrote Harris. Lakin Harris. It's bad when you met them before they were married. I almost did it the same to Liz, because I've known Liz since she was a teenager, so I kept wanting to call her by her other name, her maiden name. But so Lakin Harris and Lydia Shibley will be teaching that class. If you think about it, you can pray for them, as that is going to be our biggest class. But they're also at the point where they have gone through those beginning parts, and so they know what is expected of them, and now it's just kind of taking them up a notch. I was in that class this past year. They ask really good questions. They interact. They want to know more. You start seeing them open up more. They pray for one another. So I just want to encourage you as parents or those that are just praying for our Sunday school hour, you have students in here that are wanting to grasp these great concepts of what the Lord is teaching them, and they're asking really detailed and deep questions about the, because they can interact, because the curriculum is written in such a way that you can ask those questions and the students know how to answer them. And then for, it's powerful to hear other kids praying for the needs of another child when they raise their hand. And sometimes it can be crazy because you will go and have so many things about, like, my right ear hurts or my pinky toe, you know. But to that child, that thing is what is on their mind. And our God is sufficient to care for those little details and needs. And then to see them say it was healed or they feel better, that's God answering those questions because he is the great physician. But then to have more powerful prayers where they're praying for their lost grandparents. They're praying for someone that is in their Taekwondo class that doesn't know the Lord and saying, hey, can you pray that I will have an opportunity to share the gospel with them? Those are what our fourth through sixth graders are asking for. So those are big things. And then your other students that are in the class are hearing that. And then you get to see when God answers those prayers. So just so you know that there are bigger things going on than just the teachers teaching the curriculum, but teaching how do we care for one another and how do we love one another at a young age. And then we have our 7th and 8th grade. So this year we'll have the Rays. So Mary Pat and David Ray will be teaching along with Kurt and Stephanie Kissinger. Last year we switched over the curriculum and moved more into studying a book of the Bible and how to break it down. And they were able to get one of those ESV journal Bibles that they could write beside. The students loved it. They were able to answer questions and interact with the teachers for each section that they went through. So I'm really looking forward to it. They're going to do Genesis this year, which Andrew will be able to speak more to. But I'm just excited for those teachers to be able to talk with those students, teach them how do you read the Bible for yourself? And then what do you do when you have questions? Where do you go with it? How do you come back to the teachers? Because our desire is that each one of these students would want to have their own personal Bible study time every day, not just coming on Sundays. And I think we're growing into that. I wanted to give a time of saying thank you to our deacons and elders who have been a huge support to our ministry. And even this summer, we've had 6 of them take the time to go to the elementary school classes and to teach to them. So as busy as our eldership and leadership is, they are now taking a curriculum and they're teaching it each week. So we had, they broke it into the months, so 2 of them taught during June, July, and August. And so we've had 6 leadership. I think it's important for youth to realize that their leadership cares about them and that they can interact with them, that they can talk to them. So when you have someone that comes in every single week and speak to you, then you have a way to interact with them during other times of the year. They taught my class. I can talk to them. I can ask them questions. And so our hope is that we will continue that tradition that each summer is that the leadership of the church will be able to, during the summertime, be able to teach the youth or the younger classes. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that we have done various things with catechisms and verses. And this year we're going to try to focus more on quality versus quantity. So as parents, we have the same verse through 3-year-olds all the way to 8th grade. Will be the same verse going out, and they will have a month to learn the verse. So you guys can do it at home. We'll do it in classes, and then families can do it together versus it being like there's multiple different classes with different verses. Same with catechism. We'll have one catechism for the month. So hopefully by the end of the month, there will be more of a memorization and not just moving on to the next one. Next week, you will get a handout that will have all the ones that we plan to work on this year. So then you'll be able to take that home and maybe post it somewhere that your family can work on it together. And then I think that might be everything.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Cartledge. As Andrea said, I help lead the children's ministry. And the main thing I'm going to be talking about this morning is the curriculum that our kids are going through. So as Alex mentioned, we have 100 kids. This is about a third of our attenders. So this is important for you because what is a third of our church learning on Sunday mornings? So our 7th and 8th grade class, as Andrea mentioned, has been going through a book of the Bible. Last year they did Mark. We heard great feedback from both teachers and the students. The kids really enjoyed going through the book of Mark and studying with these ESV journal Bibles. They were taking notes. I think pretty much all of them brought them to class almost every week. They would bring them back to take notes in. It was a great time, great learning experience for them as they learned how to study God's Word. And so we're going to continue with that this year. And this year we're going to be going through the book of Genesis. And so the Rays and Kissingers will be taking our 7th and 8th graders through the book of Genesis together. Our pre-K through our 6th grade are going to be continuing with the same curriculum we did last year, which is the Gospel Story curriculum, which is built by Marty Michalski off of his Gospel Story Bible. I think we have that available in the book stall, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. But it's available online. There's also some other helps that come along with that. There's the Long Story Short and the Old Story New, which are geared more towards upper elementary kids as a daily devotional to walk them through the stories. And so the Story Bible, these two other devotionals, as well as our curriculum, all go through the same thing at the same time. So it's really, really, we want to try to help you as parents to help train your children because it's all uniform. So if you have a child in the 1st through 3rd grade and the 4th through 6th grade class, they're learning the same thing. And so it's so much easier as parents to be able to talk with your kids. And it's not just helpful for the parents because you as a member, if you don't have children, you can interact with the kids. You can help them learn. You can ask questions. Hey, what did you learn in Sunday school? And you can talk to them and get down on their level and communicate with them and help them realize that they're important and that you as members, even though you may not have kids that age, that you want them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the curriculum is designed as a 3-year study from Genesis to Revelation. We are in our 2nd year of that, so February, I think we'll be making our transition into the New Testament, and we'll be, so it's about a year and a half through Old Testament, year and a half through New Testament. And the great thing about this is if your child stays with us from pre-K through 6th grade, they will have gone through the Bible 3 times. And so they would have heard these same stories, the major events. We don't hit all of the little stories throughout, but all of the major stories of the Bible, they would have heard 3 times. And each progression comes with age-appropriate learning, so there's age-appropriate activities, there's age-appropriate teaching points in the curriculum to help the teachers think about what does this child at this age need to know about this story to help them understand the gospel and understand the Bible better. And so the curriculum does a really good job of bringing it age-appropriate as well as being all on the same page as the children study this all together. The content of the curriculum is also simple, and it allows for flexibility and teacher personalization. It simply is major teaching points of the Bible story. It gives 4 or 5 teaching points that the teachers need to know at the end of the day. This is what the kids need to know. But it also provides activities and illustrations that the teachers can use to help drive some of these points home with the kids. Again, they're age appropriate, so the activities are not the same for the pre-K as they are for the 4th through 6th graders. And so there's a variety, even as the kids are going through this for 3 years, there's a variety of things that they're learning and experiences that they're having through this curriculum. And the major goal, one of the reasons why we really like this curriculum, is the major goal is that we're trying to teach the children that the Bible is about Jesus. And the curriculum does a really good job both connecting each individual story to the broader story, the redemptive historical line of Scripture. And each lesson also talks about who is Christ? How does he fit in with this story? You know, this week is talking about Samuel, and maybe Samuel is just a brief picture of who Jesus is going to be as our greater prophet. And so there's little pieces that the lessons bring out of who Christ is. And so it's a really great aid for the teachers so that every week that your child or the children of our church will hear something about Jesus. They'll hear the gospel. They'll hear different attribute of who Jesus is. And it really helps them understand both the bigger aspect, the bigger story of Scripture, but also understanding the point of Scripture, who is Jesus Christ. That being said, if you would like to know more, we have a weekly email that goes out. So this is for you parents, but it's also for anyone who wants to know. A weekly email goes out listing the catechism, listing the memory verse, listing the lesson, and some of those teaching points. And so again, this is a great resource for you as parents, so you know what's going on in our classroom, so you can at home help teach your children. But again, it's also good for you members. If you want to know what the kids are learning, if you want to talk to the kids and say, what did you learn about today? And in the back of your mind, you know they talked about Samuel being called by the Lord. You have some questions that you can ask to help if they're like, I don't really know. Well, did you talk about Samuel? Oh, yeah, I did talk about Samuel. What about Samuel? And then they begin to open up. So this is a great resource for you as parents, but also for you as members. And so if you would like to sign up for this email, there is a QR code back by where the bulletins are in the back, and also where our check-in is, child check-in is, there's also another QR code that you can scan. It'll ask you some questions, you can sign up, and you'll begin receiving that email. Last thing that I want to talk about before opening up for some questions is just some prayer requests that we have for our teachers and for our students. The first is for our teachers. Pray that our teachers would bring the joy of Christ and the love of Christ to the classroom. They work hard in preparing, and so pray that they would prepare well, but that that would be an expression of their love for the children, and that their the children would see the love of Christ come through in the way that they teach. So pray that pray for our teachers, but also pray for our kids, and you can pray for our kids in two ways. One, that they would know Christ more. And that comes in two ways as well. That comes in that kids would make profession of who Christ is, that they would come to that initial knowledge of Christ as their Savior. But also that they would know Christ some more, and that the kids who already know Christ would grow in their love and their relationship with the Lord as they continue studying these things. So pray that our kids would know Christ more, and also pray that this would overflow into their desire to be active in church. That they would want to come to Sunday mornings, not just for Sunday school, but so that they want to be active in the spread of the gospel, not just in all nations. That they would be active in the spread of the gospel in their neighborhood, with their friends, with their family members. That they would overflow, that their knowledge and love of the Lord would overflow into their activity at church, as well as spreading the gospel among all nations. So those are a couple ways that you can pray for our teachers and pray for our students this year. Any questions about our Sunday school curriculum or our teachers or any way that it's set up? Any questions? Herb. Nope, you do not need to sign up again. If you are already on that list, you will continue to get that email. A great question.
If you don't know what a QR code is, just find any member of the staff and
sign up. Yes. Rex. Yeah, good question. Usually the goal is to send it out Friday or Saturday afternoon, so you'll have that before that Sunday. We go through that lesson. Any other questions? Celeste. Yes. Yep. that's coming. We will be getting bookmarks. Andrew and I will be in the back at the end to pass out some bookmarks. Ruben, you have a question? Amen. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions anyone would have? Okay, if not, I will turn it over to Brad to close out our time talking about the youth.
My job is to get us out of here by 7:15, and I will do it. 10:15. Sorry. Which is 7 minutes from now, which is where my mind was going. Yeah. Y'all have heard me speak a lot. I often splice something that's coming next out of my mouth. Let me start in talking about the youth ministry with just a couple of encouragements. One, I'd just like to say, and I say this every year, how much of a delight your children are, your youth are to us. They are, by God's grace, so many of them are converted and following the Lord, which that only the Spirit of God can do, and it's just a joy to see them delighting in Christ. It's a privilege to be able to walk with them as they're growing in faith. And then they're just some of the happiest, most pleasant people in the world, too. I know, I'm sure they have their down moments, their not-so-great moments, but they're a joy and a delight to hang out with. They're a lot of fun. We really enjoy our time together. Second thing I'd say by way of encouragement and just a statement of conviction as well, we believe that you, the parents, are the primary disciplers of your children. And though I appreciate what Alex had to say at the beginning, those of us who invest in the youth from the church's standpoint, we're but tributaries feeding into the river. You are the mouth. You are the fountain of that river of discipling your youth. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, parents, you're doing a great job by God's grace. It's up to the Lord what he does with the spirits, with the souls of our children. But it's so obvious that the children that have come under our care in our classrooms and our youth gatherings have been so well raised and trained in the admonition of the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, go from strength to strength. Brother, sister, keep pressing on to point your children towards the Lord. It's encouraging to me to see how much they've been discipled in and trained and knowing the Lord and taught to follow him, and so keep pressing on in that. I want to give an update in two areas. One is our Sunday school class, and the other is our youth gatherings. I'll be very brief because there's not really much that's changing this year. Whereas last year we had quite a few changes, this year we're continuing on in status quo for the most part. In our Sunday school class, the teachers are myself, Johnny Harris, and Hunter Hobart. Johnny and Hunter came in last year and have been teaching for a full year now. I just want to honor them with the faithfulness that they have put into that time. The level, the rigor with which they're teaching your young people is encouraging. And not just the level and the rigor, but the heart. They're speaking from the heart to the hearts of their youth. They're not conveying content. They want your youth to know and to love the Lord. And the Lord, I think, is blessing their investment in the youth. And so I found that deeply encouraging. Pray for Johnny. Pray for Hunter. Pray for me as we seek to teach the youth week in and week out. This year, as far as the content in our Sunday school class, we plan to point that direction because the classroom's right down the hall that way. We plan to, right that direction down the hallway, teach the youth a robust study of the book of Acts. So we're going to do about an 18, 19-week study through the book of Acts, and then we'll transition to another topic during the winter time. This past year, we actually taught through our church's Confession of Faith, the abstract of principles, along with some of our other confessional documents that you would have to affirm to be a member of the church, as we thought, what a great thing for our youth to understand. We think these things are central for the membership of the church. A number of our youth are members, have assented to those things, so that they believe those things. We want all the youth to love those truths, so we walk through those, and it was such a fruitful time. And then in the spring, we were able to go through an Old Testament survey class, which was like drinking from a fire hydrant, and I thought the Lord richly blessed that time. I'll say one other thing as far as the Sunday school time. We think strategically that time is significant, highly significant in the discipling of your youth. And so we'd encourage you to take advantage of it. We have set that up as a structure to disciple your youth. They're going to be exposed to biblical studies, digging into the Word, studying particular books of the Bible. They're going to be exposed to studies through different topics or surveys of topics in the Bible. We're going to talk about things like church history. We're going to talk about applied Christianity, how to study your Bible, how to share your faith, how to defend your faith, apologetics. Such a rich time to equip the students. We pray that the Lord would bless that time. And I just encourage you, take advantage of it as a discipling opportunity for the students. All right, moving on to our youth meetings. We have 3 meetings on the calendar every month. 2 of those are kind of our standard youth gatherings, the 2nd and 4th Sundays. One of them usually takes place in a family's home. And so all the youth will gather at a family's home who's offered to open up their home, and we'll meet there from 5 to 8 p.m. on the 2nd Sunday of the month. Then the 4th Sunday of the month, we'll meet here at the church from 5 to 8 p.m. Those times are usually oriented around either in a home, maybe having a family share their testimony, or if we're here at the church, doing studies on different topics, doing small group breakouts, having panel discussions where the youth have the freedom just to ask a group of adults questions about a range of topics. Such fruitful times together. And y'all could pray that the Lord would bless those gatherings in the upcoming year. And I'll just pause and say, as far as a way that you could consider serving the youth is for those second Sunday gatherings, we would love it if we had more host homes. By God's grace, we've had plenty of host homes over the last year. The ask is not to open up your home indefinitely and repeatedly, but just once over the course of the 12 months, if you'd be willing to have the youth over from 5 to 8 p.m., you don't have to provide a meal. We'll organize the meal. We would just love it if you'd be willing to open up your doors, host the youth. We will lead that whole time. If it's the first time hosting and you'd be willing to share your testimony with the youth, I think that would be wonderful and an encouragement to the youth as well. That's not necessary. You could host without sharing your testimony with the youth as well, but that's something else that could benefit the youth in that time. If you're willing to host the youth, please reach out to me or reach out to Lydia Shibley. Lydia organized that schedule last year. She's going to organize that second Sunday host home schedule this year as well. Reach out to either of us if you'd be interested in hosting. The other thing that we do, the third main meeting in the course of the month, is on the 3rd Sunday of the month in the afternoon from 3:45 to 4:45. We'll have a Bible study here at the church in the chapel down the hall. And that's a time to help the youth learn more interactively, more hands-on, to engage with the text on their own and to mine the Bible for truth. And so pray for the youth as they gather on that 3rd Sunday every month for that Bible study. The other main structure we have that doesn't fall under either of those 2 categories of Sunday school or regular youth meetings are irregular youth meetings, which the major one would be our week-long summer retreat or summer missions trip every year. And the rotation for that, by the way, the way we're trying to arrange this is that there's a 3-year rotation where 1 year it's a go-away missions trip, another year it's a stay-local missions trip, and then the 3rd year it's a retreat, not so much a service or missions-oriented trip, but like a retreat. So this past year we had a beach retreat, and it was wonderfully blessed of the Lord. We were able to talk about God's sovereign and amazing grace and salvation and encourage the youth with that good news and to delight in such a good and a sovereign God. So the next year the plan would be for a go-away missions trip. We don't know where we're going yet. 3 years ago we went to New Orleans. But keep your ears out. We'll be sharing about that once that's decided over the coming months. I want to give one last encouragement with the last, 0 seconds I have. This is worth 60 more seconds. One of the things that has been most encouraging to me over the course of the last year is to see more of our youth being discipled by adults in the church than ever before. Thank you to each and every one of you who have either on your own reached out to a youth and initiated a discipling relationship or have come to me and asked to be connected. Thank you for doing that. Please keep on doing that. It's so good for the health and the growth of our youth. And if you are interested in being connected with youth to disciple one of them, please reach out to me and I would be happy to make that connection for you. Let me say in closing, we have bookmarks that serve as prayer cards for the kids. They are in the back. Andrea and